QJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.
Beautiful tunes, that one is by Melina the vocalist alongside Mtunzi, titled Gueza Ogukanya, back to back with Trevor Scott. This one is titled Meltdown. Absolutely love the beautiful tunes. Bring us to exactly 11 minutes past the hour, 2 o'clock. The time is moving, eh?
Yeah, the time is going very fast.
The time is definitely going super, super fast. Right about now, though, the regular dagula, it's time for us to speak everything and all things mental health, learning abilities, learning disabilities, all of these things. And we are joined by Dr. Jean Furry. How are you doing today, Doctor?
Excited to have you on the show.
We're definitely super excited to have you on the show. Now, let's just get right into it. What are the specific learning disabilities?
About specific learning disabilities.
Yes.
And this is very different from people who have, for instance, an intellectual disability.
So okay.
An intellectual disability is where there, and I think you have had someone on the show about this already, is where there is cognitive and neural difficulties across the entire cognitive functioning. So okay. The person has difficulties with oral language, with reading, writing, everything, with functioning in everyday society in life. But today I want to speak about specific learning disability.
Okay.
And the word specific is really important here in this definition, because we are looking at a specific areas where the person is having cognitive difficulties. And these areas relate to reading, writing, spelling, and maths.
Mm-hmm.
So the person is having difficulty learning to read, with acquiring this amazing skill of reading. And I like to refer to the word disability as opposed to the word disorder, because this is a disability that actually sits inside a person's brain.
So yeah.
It's inside the functioning, the cognitive functioning of the brain. And disorder has a lot of stigma associated with it. So this is not something that we need to think about with a mental health stigma, like depression sometimes and schizophrenia. Those have some kind of a stigma associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
But a specific learning disability is hidden. We don't see it. The child will be developing naturally and normally from birth. So mommies and daddies are very pleased to have a little baby, and the baby is developing quite well. And they go to school, and then at school, where you've got to learn to read and to spell and to do maths, that is where the child starts to have difficulties now.
Okay.
Because there are just certain areas in the brain that are not able to acquire that skill of reading and that skill of being able to do maths, writing and spelling and those things that we associated with school, the academic subjects.
Yeah.
So that's why it is a specific disability. There are, there's not a general overall functional difficulty that the person has. They've acquired, they've been able to learn to walk and to function in society from naught to usually about 7-8 years old is when one starts to see this disability appearing. And so it is this hidden thing that's happening in the brain.
Yeah.
So because it's hidden, we really need to have teachers being very aware of what is happening with the children in their classes.
Definitely.
Because we've got little people trying to learn to read in grade R and grade 1 and 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And if the teachers are not looking carefully to see, is this child acquiring the skill of reading, then they might miss the specific disability that this child has.
That's true. And with that being said, I want to know, how do children and young adults present these specific learning disabilities? Like, what are the signs? Because as an educator, how do you know that the child is just struggling to read like any other learner, or they actually have a specific learning disability?
Right. So there are specific signs that we look out for, and we call them signs or symptoms that we look out for as teachers and parents and educators. So it's children in, and the signs differ depending on whether you're very little or whether you are like 12 years old or so, or a teenager or an adult. So when you're very little, there is real difficulty acquiring the phonics, the sounds that the letters make.
Okay.
So every sound, every letter, every of the alphabet has a particular sound that it makes. And that ability to see the letter on the page and immediately automatically know what the sound is that that letter represents is where the child is having difficulty. So they have difficulty acquiring phonemic awareness at a young age, and that's the ability to know the different sounds in a language.
Yeah.
So if we think about English, it's got, surprisingly, English has got 44 sounds, but we only have 26 letters in the alphabet.
Wow.
So we can't say that a particular letter is going to have a particular sound.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a letter might have multiple sounds.
Yeah.
So if you think about the sound a for apple, it can be an a in the word cat. Cat, a, it's an a sound. Mm-hmm. But if you put an e on the end, there isn't such a word as Kate, but there is.
Crate.
Kate, crate. Mm. The E on the end of that word makes the short vowel, the short F sound, it makes it a long vowel sound. So now it's still, you still wrote an A letter, but the sound is now a long vowel. So we've got short vowels and long vowels, and we've got combined things where you have, you take two letters and put them together to
like
make
four.
A sound, like as in a PH makes the for phone, or a CH makes a ch for chair. But then you've got odd things like CH as in sh for chef. So it's really hard to teach little people that correspondence of the sounds and the letters, because there isn't what we call one-to-one correspondence, where the sounds and the letters are absolutely perfectly matched. So when we look at older people, sometimes the child has been able to learn the phonics and learn that correspondence, and then but they still have difficulty with automaticity, with making the reading automatically
happen.
And so these are teenagers, and we have, I'm sure there are a lot of people, you know, young adults who will avoid reading. They will, if there's a reading task to be done, they'll try and, you know, do something else. People with reading problems can often, they often report that the words on the page are blurry. And I want to just show you what it looks like. I know that it's going to be hard for, we're on radio, so I'll try and explain some of this.
While Doctor is still checking out the pages, I just want to let you know that if you want to be one of five Easy Self-Care Hampers, win, rather, one of five Easy Self-Care Hampers worth 1,500 Rand. Then listen up. It's time to reveal the magic behind your self-care routine on a jam-packed day. Spill the tea and let us know what your self-care routine on a busy day looks like. And don't forget to tag at Easy Waves SA and at UJFM with the hashtag Easy Self-Care with Easy Waves. And you could be one step closer, just one step closer, to winning a luxurious Easy Self-Care Hamper worth a whopping 1,500 Rand. Get ready to treat yourself because you simply deserve it. So what are you waiting for? Let us know your story. So we continue where Doctor has left off.
Okay, so we're speaking about the signs. And people with reading problems might complain of visual problems. So they might say that their eyes are getting what we call visual stress.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a problem with the person's focusing and looking at things. So their visual acuity, their ability to see is fine. So if they go to an optometrist, the optometrist says everything's okay. It's got to do with how the brain takes the image that's there and processes it in the processing centers of our brain that's the problem. So they might say that things are blurry and there might be like circles of the reading where if you look at a text, part of it's in focus, but some of it's not. They also complain that there can be like lines and that the letters on the page are not stationary. They don't stay on the page. They move around.
So they
find it hard to then keep track of going from one line to the next.
We read
from left to right, and then when you get to the end of the line, you've got to go back and start again. So if things are moving, the words are moving on the page, it's hard to then go back and find where you were.
That makes sense.
To keep up with what you're reading.
So now, doctor, since these are, and I'm so sorry for interjecting, but since these are learning disabilities, and now we're discussing the specific ones, is it safe for teachers or lecturers or parents to diagnose, or do we have specific people who are only
very great question, because a lot of people will say I've got a reading problem, and you can only really give that official label of an SLD. I'm going to speak about SLD. It's the abbreviation for specific learning disability. You can only give that official diagnosis if you are a person who's registered with the Health Professions Council. Yes. So a psychologist can do it, a counseling, educational psychologist, a psychiatrist, an occupational therapist can also make such a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So it has to be someone who tests the person individually, gives them a very clear set of psychometric tests, and there are very amazing tests that allow people to figure out what's going on inside your brain just by the words and the colors and the things on the page that we ask people to read and to do.
UJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.